The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. And because of the length, you may go ahead and be seated. And I would like to invite you to join in reading the bold parts. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Well, when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. But when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said,
"See how he loved him."
But some of them said,
"Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." While he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, I have to start off this morning actually with a confession. And that confession is that this story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is not one of my favorite gospels to preach on. And I had to keep asking myself this week, why? And I think the bottom line is because I don't understand it. You know, not only in the midst of the stories, there are a lot of talk that just kind of sounds almost like code language. But there are also parts of this story that I find problematic and troubling. For me, this story of Jesus raising Lazarus raises a lot of questions for me. I mean, why? Why would Jesus wait 2 more days when he knew that Lazarus was dying? Why would he put his friends through such grief? And I wonder, how does this experience translate to us and our lives when our loved ones die? I mean, I've been at the bedside weeping with family and friends over people who were dying, when there were prayers, earnest, heartfelt prayers, that God would allow life to once again sweep over the person. But it doesn't happen. Why? Why not? And I think I don't like this story because I don't know. I don't know why not. I don't always understand how God works, or when it seems like God isn't at work at all. Yet there are also parts of this story that touch me deeply. I find great comfort in a Jesus who weeps. A Jesus who loved his friends so deeply that he weeps over them. And whether that weeping is from grief or compassion, it doesn't matter. He was weeping because he loved them. It's love that made him weep. It's a depth of friendship. And I better understand that love, that depth of friendship, that compassion. I understand that Jesus a little better. It's interesting to note that this story of Jesus raising Lazarus to new life actually leads to Jesus' death. After this happened, some people went to the Pharisees to tell them, you know, everything that had happened, to tell them what Jesus had done. And the church leaders became very concerned. They were concerned about the people and that the response to Jesus, that he would become so popular that it would be a threat to them. Not only to them personally and to the church, but also to the security that they had. Caiaphas, the great high priest, is quoted as saying, "It is better for one man to die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed. So the very day that Jesus raised Lazarus to life is the day that the religious authorities began plotting to kill him. Jesus gave Lazarus a second chance at life at the expense of his own. So in some ways, the story of Jesus raising Lazarus is a foreshadowing of another story that's to come. Here in the story of Lazarus, we have Mary weeping at his tomb. And she asks Jesus, "Where have you laid him?" And he orders the stone to be rolled away. And then Jesus shouts, "Lazarus, come out!" And he does, but Lazarus is bound by strips of cloth. These burial clothes that he still has on him are a reminder that although he's raised to new life, death still clings to him. One day Lazarus will die again. And we know that on another day, Mary is weeping outside another tomb. And she asks that very same question. "Where have you laid him?" But on that day, the burial clothes are neatly folded in a pile inside an empty tomb. Because burial clothes are no longer needed for the one that God has raised. So at the tomb of Lazarus, death is denied, but only for a short time. At the tomb of Jesus, death is overcome for good. I think part of why this is hard to understand is that because we live in an in-between time. Obviously, we live in between life and death, but we also live in between life and death and resurrection. And as we live our lives, we get glimpses of resurrection, glimpses of new life, but we don't always understand why sometimes some people receive healing and some people don't. Why some people's lives are transformed by Christ and some people's aren't. Why some people die unexpectedly and others have a miraculous recovery. We don't understand why the one who could heal the blind man, who could raise Lazarus to new life, doesn't always stop difficult things from happening to us. We don't always understand that, God. But I think what is absolutely crucial for us to understand is that Christ is always calling to us. He is always calling us out of those putrid tombs of death and into new life. Come out! Come out! Come out! And we know that's not even the end of the story. Jesus calls us to come out. And he calls us to come out into a community. Jesus commanded the community of family and friends who had gathered together to unbind him and let him go. Why? Because we saw with Rogue, Lazarus couldn't unbind himself. His hands were tied, literally. In order to be truly set free, Lazarus needed a community. He needed the help of his friends. We all do. We all do. Because we are that community. We are that community who are called to unbind those that who Christ has set free. Jesus calls us to live as a community that unbinds people who are stuck in tombs of death. We need each other. We need each other to strengthen one another in the midst of grief and sorrow and loss and broken relationships. We need each other to remove those stinky grave clothes of self-doubt or oppression or marginalization. To tear away those wrappings, those tight wrappings of fear and anxiety, addiction and depression and illness. So that all women and men and youth and children might be free. Well, how do we do this? Well, as the kids said, if we have a pair of scissors, we can just cut those bandages away. But it can also be done as we offer clean clothes to people who need it. A safe place to sleep at night. A backpack full of food on a weekend. The opportunity for an education. Holy communion at the bedside of someone who's not able to be here at worship. We can offer a word of forgiveness, a compassionate ear, a hand to hold, a warm welcome. We unbind people with our friendship. Jesus knows that none of us can answer the call to come out of those rotten tombs of death without a community of support standing ready to meet us and greet us and help us. Standing ready to unbind us and set us free. Now, I happen to see two videos that Darren's assisting me with to show you, and I want to show you these because it's not really that hard to unbind people and set them free. So which one are we going to start with, Darren? Okay. So this is a video about two dogs. Animals, get it? So and we love technology. And we love Darren. Thank you, Darren, for helping me. Here we go. See that poor little dog over there stuck in the snow?
Good job.
Aren't they happy? Okay, and then we've got another one with people in it. Just so you know, people can do it too. Oh, no internet connection. All right, well, if you can find it, Darren will do it, but I'll explain it. So I don't know if you saw the video of I don't remember what marathon it was, but it was a video that has kind of been circulating recently around the internet where it was a half marathon, and a young woman is at the finish line. Somebody's recording people coming to the finish line. And a young woman, she's maybe as far as I am to the doorway there from the finish line, and her legs give out. And she is almost collapsing. I mean, she's just ready to collapse. Three men have.
There we go. Their finish times. Take a look.
that half marathon in Philadelphia, and it has nothing to
Philadelphia.
Do with their finish line. Take a look. A woman near the end of the race became so tired, her legs buckled, and that is when two other runners sacrificed their own time to take her by the arms to make sure she didn't fall. They kept her on track until then another runner picked her up and carried her to the finish line. It was certainly a beautiful sight in Philadelphia. It shows you that running can be a team sport, guys.
Yeah, it's kind of a city of brotherly and sisterhood over there, right?
Hey, thanks so much.
There we go, people. So Jesus is clear. We are that dog. We are those people. We are a community of support that Jesus has commanded. Unbind him. Unbind her. Unbind them. And let them go. And this can be as simple as making a way for one who can't find a way. It can be as simple as helping someone, carrying them when they have stumbled and they can't continue on their own. Christ calls us to be a community of friends, of people who care, of people who unbind people so that all of God's beloved children, even ourselves, can truly be free. Amen.